When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's the podcast guy.
Something I talked about on podcast. It's the Sutton Podcast.
But never one like this.
But the whistle goes now. Delight for Sutton United. Sutton United, the National League, are through to the last 16 of the FA Cup. No longer English football's perennial non-league club. A 123-year crescendo reaches a new peak for Sutton United, who are promoted to the Football League for the first time.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sutton United Talk Time on Podcast. It's the Sutton Podcast in association with Lucky Star Gin. I'm your host, Mike, and with me on the panel today, we have debut boy, Alex, and we have Paul, who I probably will allow to get away with any outlandish statements he tries to make, and I won't be correcting him considering what happened last time. So, Paul, you can do what you like. So in this episode that we are going to cover the home draw against Crawley and look forward to the final match and final trip of the season to MK Dons. And yes, I have my ticket. I worked out how to do it. Well, actually, I didn't. I bought it from Max, but I've got my ticket. Anyway, whichever way it goes. Don't forget, we like the engagement, the shares, likes, retweets, comments, all the rest of it. They're really, really useful. So thank you to everyone who does it and anyone who's going to do it. It is really, really helpful. Going to jump in. Paul, it was about 3 weeks ago, the infamous conversation, which, by the way, Eastie agreed with me. I'm just telling you, Eastie said, his exact words were, "Yes, I can see how that mistake could happen." It was delivered in a slightly sarcastic voice, but the words he said. How have you been?
Very good. Not so bad at all. Not so bad, I've liked and retweeted a lot of any comments you've made referring to that since then. So, it's all good.
It's the confidence. What I loved was the confidence I corrected you. It wasn't the mistake. It was the correction that just made me crack up.
I know, it's good.
Yeah, Alex, welcome. Thank you for joining the panel for the first time.
Thank you very much.
Good. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, we've had sort of a lot of people for a while, but usually everyone does a little intro. Tell us about yourself, about how they started supporting Sutton, and basically their credentials, if you like.
Nice. Well, I'll try and give it brief. I grew up in Kingston and I moved to Sutton 4 years ago. I've been around the area, but my absolute sort of passion for Sutton actually literally started when I moved here about 4 years ago. So I have kind of joined during the glory years. I've learned to you. I knew about Sutton beforehand. I went to a school. We had a couple of the reserves play for us. And you saw the standard, and yeah, they were insane. But yeah, I did join when we won the National League. So really have joined at the peak. I play football. Very sort of like seven aside now, and I try to go as many home games as I can. Work sometimes means it gets in the way. I work in hospitality, so it's not always possible. I would have capitalized on the early bird rate for for the season ticket, but yeah, I just couldn't do it, I'm afraid. I'm fully obsessed, I'll be honest with you. when you feel the passion of League Two football, you start to forget about the Premier League, I'll be honest with you.
I was asked a couple of weeks ago by someone why I felt about the Premier League three-way title race, and I just looked completely blank.
Going, what?
I couldn't. Only reason I know Man City was in it is people were talking about it earlier. I don't really know. You've basically, one of the points I was going to make over the weekend, I can't remember if I did tweet it, was wherever we finish, it's our third highest finish in our history. And you've been here for all four of them. All four of the highest finishes in our history. So,
Glory Hunter. Exactly.
The glory is, you were telling your grandkids, saying, "I know, I remember." Perfect. I mean, out of that little lot, I'm guessing Wembley. But which was your favourite game?
It's easy for me. Boxing Day this year, Wimbledon, Sutton, best atmosphere I've ever been to. Honestly, it was just insane. It's me and my twin sister. We come to Sutton games together, so we've basically both got into it. She lives in Weybridge, so I'm not sure what you're doing in supporting Sutton, but we'll take anyone we can get. Honestly, it has to be Boxing Day, Wimbledon, Sutton. It was just, we packed out the away end. It was just unbelievable, and like. Yeah, it was great turnout. For me, that has to be the one, 100%.
Perfect. Well, go through a bit of club news. The ladies' side won their first game under Lucy today, and I think that gives them enough points that they're safe at that level for next season. And I did read somewhere, but you might want to check this, I think Thursday they've got Dorking in an evening match, so should be a good laugh to go down to. I was unable to get there today. Well done to all the winners of the various different awards. It's interesting to see some of them, like the players' player and whatnot, going to someone who already joined us in January. It tells us what kind of season we had. And Lyle getting club man, and again, Clive retiring after, I believe, 400 years as kit man and other duties. So good luck to Clive, and I love the idea you think you're actually retiring. That's really sweet. The coach, and as I know, is taking bookings to the MK Dons match, because I'm on that as well. Yeah, I worked out to do that one. Got my passports booked in, got my tetanus shots booked in. I'll be all right to leave the M25, we're fine. Podcast news, I did have a few good ideas thrown at me. I can't believe I'm even saying this. There was more than one request for the return of jingles. People liked the moronic crap that I was doing. So I bow to that public pressure, and I'm going to get some of those jingles back on here. And one of them is, because obviously Alex has joined today, made me suddenly realise that I've let it go a little bit with finding little snippets of information about people. So I've got a kind of question, random question to be thrown at panelists going forward, and asking different things about their Sutton supporting. And I may just blatantly steal that from Alan Partridge and call it Knowing Me, Knowing You, because it's the use. Yeah? Yeah, okay. It sounded funnier in my head. If there are any more suggestions, please do fire them my way. And anyone who wants to join the panel, don't be put off by the fact that I discovered that even more people at the club are listening than I thought, because Bruce was quite miffed when I joked around that he doesn't actually listen to any of the episodes when I was trying to tap up the new commercial director, and he said he has listened to quite a few of them. So get on the panel, get your direct line to the important people at the club, players, management team and board level. So get your voice heard. One quick question I just wanted to ask you both, because I know this is doing the rounds. What do you think, I'll start with you, Paul, of the FA Cup replays apparently decision, not testing the water to see what people thought of it, apparently is decided. What was your thoughts on that?
What a joke, I think, is my opinion. It's clearly six clubs trying to wield power over hundreds. What is there?
732, I believe, entered.
There you go. 732 clubs and six clubs are making the decision. Awful decision, yeah. Awful. And hopefully something will happen where this gets dealt with. Didn't they say, I think I read, haven't the top six played something like two or three replays in the FA Cup in the past, God knows how many years?
So I think one thing I read was it's to help teams in Europe is what the plan is. And I believe someone went back and looked it out and said, well, the only team still in Europe is Aston Villa and they've had a replay. And the others who didn't have replays are out. So how did that help them? I don't know. I mean, one thing I thought straight away was, OK, why can't we just say the six the clubs in Europe get a choice to say they don't want to enter the FA Cup this year? And then you can give six buys to any of the teams who've been knocked out, even if it's one of the local park size, they can get a buy into that round as a second chance or something.
I don't know if there'll be some sort of compromise where, I don't know, can we let those clubs in Europe agree if the other team will, that there won't be a replay or something like that? Or, you know, can those fixtures be swapped so that it is played at their ground? So, say, if a lower league club want a payday, that can happen. I don't know. I really don't know what the answer is, to be honest with you. Yeah. So,
but Alex, what are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I sort of get it with the congestion of the Premier League, but then again, obviously the status of the Premier League depends on how well they do in Europe. I get that. Then it means you're not thinking about the other three leagues. The beauty of the FA Cup is almost for that replay. I mean, we'd have loved a draw, and we were doing quite well for, a Man United or a Liverpool. That's the beauty of it for the FA Cup. But, I mean, could it have been they cut out friendlies elsewhere? Do we need international friendlies? Do we need the Nations League? Why take away replays when we talk about grassroots football needing money and you take away the replay? I mean, yeah, it's baffling, absolutely baffling. Because, just not thinking of the other teams, really.
No, I mean, one other thought I had is I think in Germany they have it that it's automatically switched to the lower league's home ground. One suggestion I thought of was give the lower league, the team in the lower division, a 0.1 goal, and therefore if it ends in a draw, they go through. The bigger team has to win or they're out. But yeah, it is a difficult one. You mentioned the money from it. I'm fairly sure of this one. Crawley got a draw and went back to Man United years ago, I think. And the money they made from that secured their future and helped them start going on this run.
Where it took them into the league. Exeter as well.
And obviously one of our little tiny bit before your time, one of our favourites is a lot of people I spoke to will always say the away FA Cup replay at Wimbledon was one of their favourite games. It was just everything. I mean, it doesn't sound so great to people now, but we were in the National League and they were in League One. So there were two divisions between us. So that was
on my birthday as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad birthday present.
No, it wasn't. I remember standing there, little Josh with me at the time. He was a lot younger. And he's like, are we going to move? And I was just standing there staring at the pitch going, what happened? but yeah, I think it's an odd decision. I don't actually really see the benefit, to be honest with you. How does scrapping replays in an FA Cup, which is the oldest knockout competition in the world, from round one, going to help any of the teams who don't enter till round three anyway? So I just think it's baffling and odd, and I'm echoing what everyone else has said. So I don't think anyone, a couple of people I'm fairly certain are trolling and saying what a wonderful decision it is. I don't know. But we will get to the match. We have to talk about the match. How did you guys do on lineup? I don't know if anyone even still does this, but I got 10 out of 11. The only one I had is I kept Easty in instead of Ollie. And once again, I was proved brilliant there when Ollie scored. Alex, how are you feeling about the lineup, and was it as you expected?
Yeah, I mean, I always just end up swapping Mbeuteman in for Eastman by accident, but I like the lineup. Coley's my favourite, by the way. So as long as he plays, I'm happy. I thought it was all right. I like that we switched throughout for the season. I think this actually is probably our strongest lineup. I did go for a bit of a Duke McKenna sort of fanboy phase, but I think he does work well as like a wonder sub. I think it wasn't too defensive. Did Adam Malachi, did he ever start as a left back when you first joined us? Or have I got that wrong? Is he always been a left winger?
No, he's a left back. That's right. Yeah. I think we've just pushed him forward a little bit.
I love that. More. Yeah, genius. Last few games I've noticed he's been further upfield. I love it. Yeah, I thought it was a. Yeah. I think this is definitely one of our best best lineups, I think.
I think he was left back for a while. We had a couple of games, and then we went to a kind of three at the back, and he was left wing back.
Yeah.
And then we brought Sam in, and the two of them have worked really well together.
Yeah.
But Paul, what do you? I've got something to tell you about Josh Cole in a second. But Paul, what do you think of the lineup? And did you get any 11 out of 11?
I didn't. I'll stop doing the fan hat thing. Gave up on it. But no, I was quite happy with the lineup. We've been settled these last few weeks, pretty much, haven't we? Not a huge amount of changes. And I think that's worked quite well for us. I was hopeful going into it, yeah. And I thought it was a lineup that gave us a chance. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So, Josh, yesterday, I realised sometimes when I do things afterwards, I reflect and think, that you were a real arsehole there, weren't you? He was out talking to his missus and the kids, and I knew there was a birthday party in the little in the room, and they showed me the cake, and it was where the little girl had been mascots over time, and she had a picture of herself as a mascot on the top of the cake with all different players, and one of them was Josh, and the woman had mentioned that Josh was her favourite player. I saw him, but I went, Josh! 2 seconds, let's go. And I dragged him through the bar. I went, oh, do you have to get back in? He was like, yeah, I'm starting. I was like, right, anyway, come on. I'll tell him that we haven't got time. So I'm showing him the cake, and then all the kids coming up to him and cuddling and all the rest. I'm like, oh, I've really messed up here. Yeah. he got back in time. So I just apologised to his missus. So, but yeah, I just realised afterwards, I shouldn't have done that. That's probably, Steve would be very cross. Yeah. But what were your thoughts ahead of kickoff? Paul, we'll start with you. Were you expecting or hoping for a win?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it was optimism, which is very unlike me. But I'm usually a pessimist rather than an optimist. So I was optimistic we would win. but I know Crawley were a good away side. They've been doing very well. One of the better away sides in the league. I think top three away side in the league. So I was a little bit cautious. I actually brought a couple of Crawley fans along, and they stood in our end as well. But they're pretty quiet and weren't causing any trouble or anything. So they come along and, they were saying before the game, you know, we make mistakes. We are capable of making mistakes. We did it against Colchester, and we could quite easily do it against you. You know, they like playing out in the back, so I was hopeful that something like that might happen, and we get a bit of luck go our way, and we might just about manage it and put that pressure on Colchester.
And Alex, what was your...
I'm ever the optimist, honestly. I just think we're going to smash it every time. So, yeah, no, I went in... pretty confident. I like the lineup. I think we're settled, like I said. I don't know. I just thought that it was a must-win game. 3 points was a must. So I thought we might get a 1-0, 2-0 sort of. So I just get through. But yeah, it was a good game. I thought we were going to win.
Right. I'm not really sure. I'm liking where the football league has changed people, Paul. Because there's you, there's Claire, there's quite a few people I've spoken to who. They've like turned from these pessimists to optimists. And I'm like, whoa, where's all this? We're 4-0 up, we're probably going to still lose this. Like, where's all that gone? Steve mentioned that he felt we struggled for the first 15 to 20 or so. How did you see it? I see you nodding there, Alex. So you
kind of... Yeah, I was going to say at the start. I was a massive optimist, and then the first 15 minutes they played well. Honestly, they were good. I got nervous. I think their player Kelly, from memory, was pretty good, and they just passed the ball around really well. We had our chances, but like we looked a bit first 15, 20 minutes. We, for some reason, our left and right backs, not saying Jackson and Hart, but like just that.
Ooh, we made another no.
Oh, he's gone.
Oh,
he's back. Go on. You were saying Jackson.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jackson and Hart, sorry.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah, just to say...
We're living in
particular, but just those areas.
That's right. You just came back. It's all right. Don't worry.
Sorry, listeners.
The fullback areas. That's all right.
Yeah, just those areas.
Yeah. Paul, how did you see that first 15 minutes or so?
Yeah, I mean, St. Alex and I thought we were under Akosh. They started very strong. Like, as you're saying about Liam Kelly, he's such a tricky little player. He's a small player, a bit like Duke McKenna, I suppose, and he's very good on the ball. He's their playmaker who creates things for him. I was concerned. I was thinking, here we go. This could go badly. Maybe the pessimism started to kick in.
Well, Steve made quite a few saves, but I have to say, they were quite shockingly poor at finishing. I even turned to you, Paul, and made a very outlandish statement at one point. But their finishing was awful. I know we had a few half chances, we kind of went straight to the keeper and whatnot, but they were blazing it over, blazing it wide. Did that not give you any
six hope? Yards, 6-8 yards out?
I think that might be the one that I said.
Yeah,
I'm fairly sure I would have scored that. And you've played with me. I don't even want to be on the pitch up there. But were you getting a bit of confidence from that? Because it was kind of getting late in the half before they did anything really.
Was that to me? Sorry.
Yeah.
I was thinking they were with their pressure. I was thinking, oh, they are going to get one here. Something is what we do. We've been capable of a mistake, or giving them that chance, you know. And I know that they missed a couple, but yeah, it almost always feels like a team are going to score against us, you know. So I was almost waiting for it rather than hoping it wouldn't happen.
And Alex, what was your thoughts on there? It's been quite waiting, really.
I do agree with you. The finishing was poor, except for the one goal they had. That finish was pretty spectacular, to be honest with you. But their keeper was good. When we had our chances, I think, a good mention for their keeper. He had a good game. Probably should have put one away with Ollie Sanderson. Probably should have put that one away. But yeah, they had their chances. We had ours. It started to settle like probably 25 minutes into the game. I think we started to look a little bit more sort of comfortable with the ball and started putting some good bits together, especially down the right with Josh in particular. And obviously Adam Malacky had an absolute brilliant game in the first half. But yeah, it was just a shame that they put one away. We didn't close fast enough at all. Yeah, but it's a shame.
Yeah, that was my next one is just before half time. I thought I'll go for a quick pee before everyone else starts charging in there. I was told it was a good goal, but I mean, could it have been avoided? I've watched it back, but did you feel it could have been avoided, Alex, or was it just?
Yeah, 100%. It goes back to what I was saying earlier about just that left side of we didn't close fast enough at all, and then we end up having like two players on one winger, and then there was just that. A lot of space. I mean, if you watch the replay, I think he had about two or three touches before he steadied the ball, and like we should have closed it. Like it was just plenty of time. I mean, by that point, Arnold had made a couple of good saves. It's just a shame he couldn't quite reach for that one because it wasn't quite a top corner. It was, but yeah, he had a lot of time to shoot.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I did watch it back, and it was a good finish. But I think it just come after a few short, tidy passes in the box. And I think when it got to their player, our guys kind of backed off to go, right, let's see where he's going to put this, not expecting him to shoot. As you say, I mean, Paul, do you feel that we should have closed down a bit more, or are you just going to say it's a good goal?
You definitely got to give the leg credit. It was that Kelly, I think, who scored the first one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The tricky player. And I was quite impressed that they didn't just try and shoot on a half chance. They kept knocking it about to try and create the chance. It's almost like they wanted to just give that Kelly that little extra bit of space. And I think, as I say, the credit has to go to them there. But yeah, we haven't been getting close enough to teams defensively quite a lot this season. And I know we've shored that up recently, but we still have that in us, I suppose, to give them that half a chance. But as I say, credit has to go to their player, to be fair. Yeah. And it was a well-taken strike.
Yeah, so, I think you're right, Paul. I think we thought we were going to pass it across the box, but then he just ended up shooting. From my angle, the whip on it was pretty impressive. Probably doesn't make it look as good, but from my angle, it was quite a nice goal. But yeah, we won't dwell on that too much.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So here's the next one. The second half starts with 1-0 down. Did I review, because I didn't, see Charlie's goal?
No,
because, Paul, I'm fairly certain he did the same. He shot, he hit the bloke. Everyone turned towards the referee screaming for handball. And you're like, what's he whistling for now? How's the ball got in there? So, did you see it, Paul, or not?
I saw it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I was still watching. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's down to you. I mean,
it was a bit lucky, wasn't it? Really, you know, it's hit the he's hit good strike, and it's hit the player seemingly on the hand. I didn't actually. It was in a bit of a. It's quite crowded in there, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm,
yeah. So I didn't really see exactly whether it hit his hand or not, but I sort of obviously saw it loop up. And yeah, keeper was pretty stranded with it. He didn't get anywhere close to it. And I thought it went off the post, but in watching it back, it looks like it didn't quite. But it was pretty close over to that side. And yeah, he was a little bit stuck. He didn't move particularly, did he, the keeper? So no, it's just you need that bit of luck, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, give the referee some credit there, because if he had put the whistle in, as everyone was screaming for it, then we would have got a penalty. We may not have scored it. But Alex, how did you miss it? Same reason?
Or I'll be totally honest with you, Mike. I was having a pint in the clubhouse. it's quite funny. I was having a pint with my dad. And then, obviously, Sky Sports was playing. It says 1-1 Sutton. I had no idea. It came out, and it's the 49th minute or something. I don't know where the time went. Never get a pint at half-time, because you've got about 3 minutes to drink it. And, completely missed it, I'll be honest with you, Mike.
At least you bought some beers at the club. That's fine.
The last game I was at, I actually missed. We scored just after half-time again as well. I missed Stockport, I think it was. So it was one more out. I can't remember who it was against. And I said to someone I was chatting to, well, I'm going to go out quickly. I don't want to miss the start of the half, because I missed a goal last time just after the second half. And I got round and I was in place literally just as the goal was scored.
Yeah.
So
See,
turned it well.
That must have been Accrington.
Yeah, that was it, yeah.
So Ollie then scored a very well-taken goal. And I know he scored a few now, but I think it's probably his most composed finish. What did you think of that? Alex, we'll start with you. And also, Charlie was very enthusiastic with his celebrating. Yeah. He's like...
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to say it. Yeah, but Charlie, a goal was well taken, but we'll come back to that. But Charlie, honestly, just one note on him. Yes, he's a lone player, but the passion he has for Sutton is just fantastic. Like, after that goal went in, yeah, he's like a club legend at this point, because he's acting like it. It's a shame that he's on loan. But yeah, the goal was good. Like I said, the keeper annoyingly actually had quite a good game up until that point. But again, we pressed, and when we press, we create chances, and it's when we set back, that's when we concede. But yeah, fair play. I would have squandered it, but he did good. It's nice to see.
I was worried at one stage when he was bouncing up and down the sidelines that he's going to trip over the covers.
Yeah,
that's his ankle gone. I was like, but Paul, what did you think of the goal and Charlie's bit of passion of showing?
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, taking advantage of being clinical and taking these chances is what it's all about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As I said, my mate David, a Crawley fan, he said, we've got a mistake in us. He was 1-0 up when they were 1-0 up at half-time. He said, we've got a mistake in us. Don't worry about that. He reiterated it. He said, you're never out of it with us because we can do that. He says the keeper often does have an error in him. And it was his ball to the defender who didn't control it. So it was a bit of both, really, wasn't it? It's gone falling to Charlie, I think it was, and he's obviously put it to Ollie, and he's been very composed in putting it in, but it wasn't too difficult a chance, and fantastic. I mean, I was going a little bit mental when it was celebrating, but we're happy with that, and I was just thinking, you know, is this going to work? Because I think, was it second half, Notts County took the lead? Can't remember. But I think it was a similar sort of time that Notts County had gone 1-0 up and we were then 2-1 up, and it was like, okay, there's a point in it now. If this stays like this, well, you know.
Game on.
Who knows?
Yeah. I know through his dad, Charlie loves it here. Doesn't necessarily translate he's going to stay, but I'm trying to work on Eastie to tell him how great it is to be at a club where you're loved.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what division, somewhere where you're loved is more important. So we'll work on that, we'll keep working. Also, there's definitely some love there because his dad has got booked a coach and a whole load of tickets for a family to come up and watch it at MK Dons. So there are an awful, I think I have maybe 40 friends and family coming to watch, so that's going to boost our away numbers. But there was a late equaliser. We could be talking about various goals this season where we had a slip, a block and a loop and it's gone in. But how did you see the equaliser, Paul?
Oh, frustrating. Very frustrating. I mean, there was a few opportunities to take a player out in the build-up, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
It felt like, you know, was it Omar who took a card a bit earlier in the half and took a player out? We didn't get close enough. There was a slip, wasn't there? Was it Kizzy who slipped?
Yeah.
Just in the box. It's like, when it's not going your way, it's not going your way, is it? So, and again, I mean, yeah, frustrated. Really frustrated. And it's like, we've worked so hard to get ourselves back into this and we still manage to have these little mistakes again, how it's gut-wrenching.
Yeah, and then number 8 chose to celebrate in a slightly different way. Instead of getting his crowd going, he's run past our main stand and our bench with the old shush. Like, we make a lot of noise anyway. I don't know why he's trying to shush us, so we're real quiet. Yeah. But Alex, how did you see the equaliser?
Yeah, I agree with Paul. Shame. I mean, we sat back, and that's when we concede. We just got really kind of nervous in the last like 4 minutes. We were controlling the game for most of the second half, and then we started setting sat back, and then they had a lot of possession. And again, like you said, Paul, the two players that were closest to the ball already had a yellow card. So I sort of thought the same thing. Just take him out. Take him out. We've seen their free kicks. They're not very good. Just give him one. And unfortunately, they've had too much time on the ball. It hurt, I'll be honest with you, because I was already booking my ticket to MK Dons with confidence. And I just felt that there was going to be a late winner. I don't know why. I said I'm a positive guy, but I did start to feel that in the last 5-10 minutes, this could, well, 5 minutes, we might have conceded, and we did. So it's a shame, a real shame, and it hurt.
Well, could have been worse. I'll stick with you on this one, Alex. I've watched it back, and the replay doesn't quite show the angle. So I've watched it back on iFollow, the full replay. It doesn't quite show it. I think on the balance, he was, because just the way he kind of runs out of camera, and it's like, well, if he continues at that same speed, unless he's literally stopped, he would have been offside, I think. The flag went up really, really quick, which is annoying because it stopped us, them all being off. The ref then insisted them all coming back on before he lets us take the free kick, and that's not right. But how did you feel? We worried, we relieved. How did you feel at that non-goal at the end?
I would have got out of my seat and I was walking down the steps only to get back in my seat. I'm quite a passionate supporter. You could probably hear me in the stands. I didn't see the offside from my angle. I couldn't have worked it out. I didn't even see the flag until really late. And just the noise from the Crawley fans was enough to send me over. At that point, I just thought that's it. But it added to the drama, don't get me wrong. Yeah. It added to a very good day out regardless. Like, we played well, and then that at the end, the game had everything.
Shame. Well,
but good that he was offside.
I'm sure, I know everyone hates this phrase, but for the neutral, I'm sure that was a very good game to watch. Yeah. It was quite a bit of back and forth, especially the last 10 minutes. But Paul, I know I was standing next to you, but what was your kind of thoughts around that late non-goal?
Yeah, we were pushing, weren't we, I guess, a bit. It was getting very end-to-end at that point, wasn't it, with the last minute or so. And I thought, well, we didn't have a lot else to go for. We had to push. They were pushing because they obviously want to be in the playoffs, and they know that sides have got games in hand around them. So I kind of was of the attitude, okay, yeah, a draw is not good enough for us. So losing isn't a disaster. It just seals the inevitable, what feels like the inevitable at the moment. But, you know, there is still a bit of optimism there. I'll be honest with you. You know, it could go back. Colchester need to go struggle against Doncaster and Crewe, who are both looking for something. So there's still hope, but my thoughts at the time were, if they've scored, it's done. It's over.
Yeah, we'll have to wake.
So be it.
Now, I wasn't sure whether to do this as the post-match or still the second half of the match, but Alex mentioned it had everything, including a nice little punch-up. I know you're not supposed to like these things. I know you're supposed to say, isn't it terrible? But I love it. But I didn't see the spark. I've tried to watch it back on iFollow, like I said, and the replay doesn't do it. It shows quite amusingly, I'm not going to say it just in case fines come out, but it does show quite amusingly the camera at one of our defenders, who then kind of looks over, sees what's happening, and just pelts straight into it. And I'm like, come on, that's it, that's what you want. But did either of you, we'll start with you, Paul, did you see the spark of what happened or anything at all? I believe someone said something, but I didn't see it at all.
No, I didn't. I didn't see. No. I just saw the melee afterwards. I didn't see what caused it to happen. Mm. I didn't even pay that much attention to it when it happened, to be honest with you. I was like, oh, what are they up to? Leave them to it. Emotions are high. And I started wandering around the bar. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
You're saying about everyone likes a punch-up and the likes. My first ever game watching Sutton, or the first game, I think I came as a very young and saw us play Northwich Victoria in the 80s, but I have no real recollection of it. My first ever game in 91 was against Bromley, 1-0 draw, and there was a 22-man punch-up that day as well. And that inspired me. The atmosphere that it created inspired me to want to come back again. And, you know, 33 years later, I'm still coming.
I think one of my favourites was, I'm fairly sure it was against Kingstonian. It was Murray Jones. Mm. He absolutely lamped someone. It's not a great big ball. And I was like, go on, team. But yeah, obviously, really don't like the, I wouldn't condone that behaviour. Alex, yeah. Alex, what did you see anything? Did you get a flavour of what's happening?
So I only saw the melee, but I was I didn't see the start, but I was sitting in stand one, so I have to wait for them to come through the tunnel before I can actually leave the stadium.
Yeah.
So I had to stand and watch it, but I do love that sort of stuff. But it was just interesting that it sort of followed into the tunnel as well a little bit. But yeah, I don't know what started it. I just remember hearing the Crawley fans giving us drip. So yeah, it's just part of it. Tensions run high when you're in that.
Yeah, situation. No, absolutely. I mean, one thing I will say is a huge well done and very brave to the volunteer stewards of Chris, Ryan and Rambo, who, let's be honest, they're not the biggest bunch of chaps, diving into the land of giants to try and calm it all down. I did wonder, like, we have paid security here. Shouldn't some of them be going, actually, we'll take it from here? But I don't know. But yeah, no, I know we'll probably get a fine for it.
But. Yeah, Steve Morrison didn't seem that bothered by it at the time. I was looking at him thinking, is he going to get involved? But no, he just was walking around the edge of the circle.
He probably don't need to, you know, he's got all these big lumps to go.
Yeah.
Touch my boss.
You want me, in you go.
Right, so the point, Paul hinted towards it, it keeps the diminishing hope just about alive. It is a flat line, but every few seconds there's a little beep. However, the sequence of results we need is not stupid things like we need to win 6-0 or someone needs to lose 6-0. There are 7 goals between us and Colchester. It's a 7 goal difference. If they lose both their games and we win our game, all 1-0, it's only a 4 goal difference, okay? Which we're at, we're down. But actually, it's not beyond the realms that Doncaster could do 3 or 4. Colchester could lose 2-0, 3-0. We could win 2-0, 3-0. If we go into the last game knowing we need a big result and MK Dons help us out by putting a quiet side out, it's not beyond it, because even if we get the 7 goals, we then scored more goals than them. So we'd stay up on goals scored, which would be hilarious. But what are your thoughts, Paul? How realistic do you think it maybe is? It's not... I mean, I think the words I was using for quite a while is, just because it's not probable doesn't mean it's not possible. But what are your thoughts, Paul?
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
My thoughts are, it's the hope that kills you. I've said that term so many times. There's still that little bit of hope, isn't there? My thoughts are, I think Doncaster are perhaps going to have too much for Colchester. I'd like to see it go to the last day.
Yes,
let's start with that. Let's see what happens Tuesday, and let's hope that Doncaster are desperate for those points, and that'll get them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So let's hope Tuesday that happens, and then we're in for a chance, and go from there, really. But will MK Dons rest some players? You know, they're in the playoffs. They can't. No, sorry. Their position can be changed. I think Barrow have got 6 points behind them, but they've got a game in hand. So if Barrow gets 6 points and they lose to us, then they won't finish in fourth.
Uh, No, it's 7
Go
points.
On, correct me. Oh, go on, I dare you correct me.
No, I'm just looking at the table.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Barrow have 2 games to play and they're on 68 points, so they can get a maximum of 74. And Milton Keynes are on 77 already. So I think they are.
Oh, yeah, they lost. Yes, yes. No. Yeah. I bow to your...
Not knowledge. I've got the web page open.
Barrow. When I looked, Barrow were beating. I think they were beating Doncaster, and Doncaster came back and beat them.
Yeah, so they came back quite
that
late.
That could be why it was. That's what it is. So Milton Keynes can potentially rest players in, if need be. It is a week though, isn't it, until the playoffs start? So would they need to rest players? It's not like National League where you'd play on the Tuesday, following Tuesday or something. So,
is it we'll 2 legs or 1 playoffs? In
our division, I believe it's 2 legs. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they still got another home game.
I'm pretty sure it's
it's 2. They could have another home game then. They don't have to put on a show for the fans or anything. What do you feel about the hope?
Oh, it's still there for me, just about. I mean, I'm going big 5-0 win for Doncaster.
Ooh.
You heard it here first. They need the win. When I watched Doncaster play, if Doncaster can get to 8th position, when we last played them, they were fighting in the relegation zone. Anything can happen in League Two. So, yeah, I'm going big win for Doncaster. And then we just got Harry Smith hat-trick on there against Milton Keynes. It's unlikely, but I mean, if it's mathematically possible, then I'm still all in.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter what I'm still in, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I did mention to a couple of people yesterday that I really do hope if Doncaster do manage to get into the playoffs and win those playoffs, they give Dino a fucking medal, because it was his penalty that started the great run. So it's like, you need to give that man something. I mean, there's lots of people kind of mourning relegation, which you can understand. There was a bit of a conversation on the forum earlier, and someone was getting quite cross that other people still had hope. And it was all the rest. It was like, hang on, I don't understand how that is helping. But we should do remember the badge fun thing in it together. We just leave everyone on their stages of grief. We'll all get there if it needs to be. There was also a flare in the Crawley end. First of all, any of the youngsters looking, I hope you took a good look at the flare, because it did look rather pathetic, I'll be honest with you, from the other end. So that's what ours looked like. But I don't understand. I don't know what if either of you understand or know. But we got fined for a flare at an away ground because it was our fans that threw it. And apparently we're going to get fined for the flare that the away fans threw at our ground. I'm not overly sure how this is working. Do either of you know?
But we had a couple of, because we kept throwing flares, I think it was the last time. We had about 2 or 3 games in a row where we just kept chucking yellow amber flares on the pitch. So, yeah, I don't know about the away side of things, but yeah, we had a few in a row. So, the fine was probably warranted.
I think we should task the security company and go, well, you need to be paying them because it's your job to keep them out. We'll see. They'll probably clearly say, well, your stadium isn't secure, so people can just chuck things over the fence. It's not looking. But Paul, how do you understand it? I mean, I should just ask Tim, really, I suppose.
Yeah. I think I've heard stories on both sides that, it's the team who throw the flare, get the fine, and the home team who happens to will get the fine as well. So I don't know could it be that we've thrown them at home rather than away grounds? So that's where we've got the fine.
There was definitely an away game, but that actually might make sense if it can be identified as definitely an away fan. Mm. Then they get a fine.
Could be identified by the colour, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but they get a fine as well. And talking of them, did you see I think it was West Brom, on the way to the match, it went off in the train. Covered the train with smoke. I mean, it's dumb and everything, but that's on a train. They are hot. And if that started a fire, I mean, I'd be hunting that person down.
in the ground, though, if you throw a flare, make it a good one.
Right, so there were some comments I've had people say and asking me as if I actually know. Would Steve leave if we go down? Alex, we'll start with you. I mean, there's some things I've been told, and I'm not entirely sure who told me them, because I'm not sure if I should share them, but I probably will. He has committed to come onto the podcast for the start of the new season, which to me sets it in stone that he's definitely going to be here. He can't leave. Alex, what are your thoughts on will Steve be staying or not?
I mean, my personal opinion, I'd love him to stay because obviously he's absolutely. It's tough because obviously the results don't look like it, but I mean, we'd have a lot less points without him. The play is absolutely so much more enjoyable to watch now. I remember when we had the Wimbledon derby and we were literally just 1-2 hoofing the ball, and now it's all along the floor at points. I think I like him to stay. I think he's going to stay. I have heard rumours in the stands that he's leaving, and it's already been decided that he's leaving, regardless of the outcome, whether we stay in League Two. But that might just be stand talk. But yeah, I mean, if he says he's coming on the pod, then I'd assume that he's going to be still at Sutton. But I don't see why he would want to leave. He's done a great job. But if there's something happening outside of the club, then that might swing it.
Paul, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm similar to Alex there. I hope he stays. I think the job he's done. You know, it took a bit of time to get us going and get his feet under the table, so to speak. But we've played good football. The football's improved massively from what was happening for pretty much the previous year. We were poor, weren't we? Throughout 2023, we were pretty dire. So I'd hope he stays. It's certainly not done anything for his managerial career to have done what he's done for us. So, you know, he's been quite happy to jump from Hornchurch to us. And if a better offer comes in, I wouldn't be amazed if he took it, because I think he's got high hopes for his career. And who wouldn't, you know, if a better offer came in, you'd probably take it. But yeah, hopefully he stays and builds a squad. I don't know what sort of budget he's going to get, how budget's going to work for us next season, but I think it's going to depend on that and a lot of other factors. But why not? Why not? Hopefully he stays and we build and you know, rebuild, should I say, because I think it's going to be a big job to rebuild and see where we go. You know, I don't think National League is a hugely strong league. We were talking about it. Halifax, Southend, Oldham, perhaps stronger sides, you know, other sides who are up there in the playoffs, Alty, Gateshead, you know, Barnet, Barrow, Barnet and Bromley, sorry. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd like to think we can compete if we're going down, which yeah. Likely, so I'd like to think.
I want to know who his contacts are, because I mean, the foresight to get Lackey in and Adam Malacky in, I mean, I don't know who he knows, but like, I mean, they are some wonder signings on loan.
And quickly. So he now would have other targets and other plans. I mean, one of the things I was told is there is a definite ambition amongst the management team that, in fact, the wording was, there's no reason why our legacy can't be ensuring we get crowds over 8,000 regularly. And I was like, well, the maximum, yeah, capacity 5,000. So there's a good reason. But they're all quite big chaps, so I didn't say it. There's a definite appetite. I think he took the job with the knowledge that we are more than likely to get relegated. I said a long time ago that if we sack Matt, we are more than likely to be relegated, because whoever comes in, it's not their players. He's proved me really close to be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. But then the second side, I said, actually, I kind of had more belief that Steve would get us promoted again than I would had Matt stayed. Love Matt, obviously, everyone knows that. But I just think that if we do go down with Steve, there'll be a massive appetite within the club, within the board, that we're going to push forward. There's been various comments by various different members of the board saying, yeah, this isn't the end. This is just a setback. So that there is long-term plans. It sounds really odd because Paul, you'll remember the days where plans seemed to be made on the back of a fag packet, and it was like
training was beyond the goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, there's odd to talk about us doing long-term plans, and obviously we've got that commitment that he's going to come on the board. Like, that's going to make him stay. But you mentioned earlier it's kind of an odd sort of situation, Paul. We're looking forward to Saturday, but actually it's hugely dependent on what happens out of our hands on Tuesday. But Alex, how do you feel that we're going to win this game? Do you think that they're going to play a weakened side and concentrate on the playoffs? Would you want us to do that if we were in that situation?
I'll be honest, I actually didn't see that as an angle until Paul mentioned it about 5 minutes ago. So I'd actually see that as a real possibility. I would, if I was Steve, I would literally just play all of our reserves if we had the points in the bank, keep our players fresh. Although I say that, I would probably still want, people still want to score, players want to score, players want to play. I'd assume he'll still field, still field a fairly good side, probably rest a couple of players. But then if it is a situation of goal difference, our problem is we've got a great midfield and a great defence. We haven't got that many strikers. So if we're going to do it, we're going to have to just put Dion Moore, Smith, Sanderson, three up front. I think that's what I would do. But we'll see. I think it'll be a slightly weaker MK Don's side.
Paul, what about yourself? I mean, I asked a lot of questions there. I mean, how do we do it? And would you be playing a weakened side if you were in that position?
Yeah. I think if they've got any injury doubts, perhaps, players who are taking a knock, they might rest them. Mm-hmm. I think they'll want a bit of momentum. I'm not sure what they did yesterday. Did they win yesterday, MK Dons? I'm not sure. Yeah. But I know they got battered by Mansfield the week before.
In a 5-3 win against Harrogate.
Oh, was it? Okay. So, yeah, we know they can score goals. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, if there's any players...
they also concede.
Yeah. But I think a want is quite important. They don't need to win. We need to win. So I hope that might have an impact on the outcome of the result.
Yeah. If it's a bit tasty, a bit physical, will they want to be taking a chance that they could get injured? So if your top midfielder is running a ball and he's got Omar running towards him, he might think, oh, I don't fancy this, thanks. I'm not saying they will, but they've got to keep in the back of mind they've got two games and possibly a final at Wembley. What are your predictions? We're going to the prediction league. Basically, Mr. Derby has to enter and he'll win. He's 6 points ahead. And the only chance that Andy's got is if Paul doesn't enter. It's quite interesting that only a 2-2 draw and a 0-0 draw would have had this situation. Any other scoreline, except for like mad ones like 4-4, would have seen them separated somehow. I can see you both glazing over, so it probably isn't that interesting. Paul, you are guaranteed third, and Neil, again, needs to. He's 5 points ahead of Ali, so but he's got a better correct score percentage, so he really only needs to enter. But you're guaranteed third. But what's your prediction? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I think, and I'm never optimistic, but I think we are going to win, and we're going to put it back onto Colchester to have to get a result. They're playing Crewe in the last game, so if it is tight and we are still in it, Crewe have been absolutely abysmal. They were pushing for automatic promotion and now they're just hanging on to the playoffs, so they need a result out of it to stay in the playoffs, but they've been absolutely abysmal. So whether they're going to do anything for us, I don't know, but all we can do is get the result, put pressure on like I'd hope we would have, after the result yesterday. And if we'd been 1 point behind Colchester, that would have been so much pressure on them, but wasn't to be. We need Crewe definitely to show up as we do Doncaster. And if we can win and get something, put some pressure on, we've got a chance.
Okay. A lot of words. You haven't actually given me a scoreline, have you? You thought I didn't notice.
It's 2-0.
Go on. Go 2-0. You can't have 2-0.
Yeah, you're going to get it right. You're going to get a prediction right for the last half of the season.
54 wrong. I can't get one right now. Disappointing, in fact. Alex, how do we win it? And what's your prediction?
It's got to be 3-1. As much as I said it's going to be 5-0, I reckon 3-1. We've done it against Swindon. We've Accrington Stanley. I reckon we've got at least 3 in us. I think we'll have momentum. Couple up front. We can't just have Harry up front holding play. Need somebody to be running onto those balls. So, yeah, 3-1 and 3 in defence and the rest up front.
Definitely love it for it. So the Cody's on the board. Obviously, it's basically wrapped up now. So all you're doing is joining to tell me you want to do it next season. So please do click on it or look out for it again next season. I'm going to do some tweaks and change a few tiny little things to make it a bit easier for myself. But we're going to wrap up this episode of Sutton Podcast. As always, we appreciate your ear attention. Still broken the cup, but I do have a new one. Claire got me a new one, and I think this is exclusive merch to push the fans game on the 5th of May, everyone. I will last about 30 seconds, I think. So I've heard someone who might be manager, and I fear that they might find it very funny to just keep me on the pitch as long as possible. But we'll see. But yeah, do follow on social media at Sutton Podcast across everywhere, really. Subscribe to the podcast, give me some reviews, give me the thumbs up. Next time we are joined by Dan, who wasn't so well yesterday, I don't think. So he may not be, but Dan is coming on, Neil is coming on, and my memory, Paul Darby is coming on. And this was planned before I knew he was going to win it. But thank you to our sponsors, Lucky Star Gin. Thank you to today's panel, Paul and Alex. And Alex, was it everything you ever dreamed of?
Oh, and more.
Excellent. Well, thank you all. Thanks for listening, everyone. And take care. And we'll catch up soon. Goodbye.
United! 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 United!
Sports Social Podcast Network.